welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tuddenham, and I'm going to be your guide for the next few weeks as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. When the vinyl record became popular in the 1950s, millions of older records were consigned to the junk pile. I'm going to trawl through those records and find out what life was like before vinyl. Let's get off to a rousing start with one of Ratka's novelty numbers, A Sailor's Adventures.
Aye.
Was A Sailor's Adventures by Otto Ratka, played by Victor Ricardo and his orchestra in 1931. Victor Ricardo was almost certainly a pseudonym for Paul Godwin, and this particular record, although it is on the British Decca label, carries a German Polydor Matrix number and copyright declaration. We'll be looking into Matrix numbers and other marks which give clues about the origins of a record in a later programme. If you say you are going to play a ballad nowadays, people either think you mean a modern American folk song or a Victorian dirge, in which case they make their excuses and leave as quickly as possible. Ballads of the Victorian type continued in their popularity well into the 1920s, and some were still adored by the older generations right into the 1950s. They certainly aren't easy listening to modern ears, and some of them really were just pot-boiling rubbish. But they give us a delightful insight into the yearnings, fears, and aspirations of our forefathers. Here's one recorded in spring of 1922 that was looking back to gentler days before motorised transport, when goods and people were taken from the villages to the market towns on the carrier's cart. This ballad is sung by Eric Marshall, and it's called The Carrier's Courtship.
For miles and miles around, a simpler soul or merrier is nowhere to be found. In fair or stormy weather, I drive my I feel so proud, I laugh aloud through every village street. And across the Otapolin, we return plain to brown. My head is high as I pass by along the road to town. One day when rain was pattering, a few miles from the town, the last I saw children dressed in her Sunday gown. It was Mary from our village, I knew her at the sign. So she up and sat beside me upon the old horsey. She looked so fair, sitting there, so fresh, so young and sweet. Why now, Mistress Mary, will you be Mrs. Brown? Ah, John, says she, that will I be, and so we rode to town. And since the day I married her, been apart, and many times I've carried her in that self-same old cart. But now we've got a family of growing boys and girls. When they tumble up beside me upon the old they turn my load out in the road, cutting all the streets. Oh, does they be like Mary, with a hair and eyes of brown? I bite my lip and crack the whip along the
Carrier's Courtship, written by Langdon Marks and sung there in 1922 by Eric Marshall. Many thousands of ballads were written from Victorian days up to the late 1920s, but few have survived. Some became so well known in their day that they soon were the subject of merciless parodies, and occasionally the parodies became better known than the originals. Just occasionally there was a ballad which lodged itself in the collective memory and even became part of the language. Probably the best remembered example was written in 1910 by Will Geddes, and it dealt with a subject that remains so much of a fear in many people's lives that, as far as I know, no one has ever felt it appropriate to attempt to write a parody. The words and the story had the power to send a chill down the spine of every man, woman and child across the mining villages and communities of the world. Don't go down the mine, Dad.
Don't go. tell my dream to your maid, and through as the stars that shine, something is going to happen today. Dear Daddy, don't go down the mine. Don't go down in the mine, Dad. Dreams very often come true. Daddy, you know it would break my heart if anything happened to you. Just go and tell my dream to your mate, and as true as the stars that shine, something is going to happen today. Dear Daddy, don't go down the mine.
That was Don't Go Down the Mine, Dad, sung by Stanley Kirkby in 1910. It's a great pity they didn't have room on the record for the second verse, where the child's predictions save the father from a horrible death. If you want to follow up the words, go to this programme's website at www.poppyrecords.co.uk/lifebeforevinyl/main.htm, or follow the link from the Resonance FM programme listings. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. Ballads were often serious affairs, but there were much lighter comedy songs in the repertoire of the recording artists too. Some of them were quite true to life, but many of them contained an element of nonsense. One of the most prolific writers and singers of comedy songs of the 1920s and 30s was Leslie Cerrone. Some of his nonsense songs are still sung in pantomimes today, and his records under many different pseudonyms turn up by their hundreds in junk shops. Other performers took up his songs and gave them even wider circulation. Here's Randolph Sutton, who was still making stage appearances in the 1960s, singing one of Leslie Cerrone's hit songs, Jollity Farm, in 1929.
Misery, but of that I'll have none, because I know of one that's always full of fun. They call this one jollity, believe me folks, it's great, for everything sings out to me as I go through the gate. All the little pigs they grunt and howl, the cat meow, the dog bow wow, everybody makes some row down on Jollity Farm. All the little birds go tweet, 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 the lambs all bleat and shake their feet, everything's a perfect treat down on Jollity Farm. Regular in habit, the cock begins to crow, and the old buck rabbit says, I'm a do-de-o-do. All the little ducks go quack, 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 the cows all moo, the bull does too, everyone says, how do you do, eh? Down on Jollity Farm. You won't find much jollity, though you may walk a mile, the sun shines all the while, you cannot help but smile. Farmer's name is Jolly Boy, he's laughing all the day, and when you see his missus, you'll be glad you came that way. All the little pigs, they grunt and howl, the cat meow, the dog bow wow, everybody makes some row down on Jollity Farm. All the little birds go tweet, 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 the lambs all bleat and shake their feet, everything's a perfect treat down on Jollity Farm. When the dew is soaking, the frogs sing any note, you will hear one croaking, says I've got a frog in the throat. All the little hens lay eggs with pride, you laid or dried, or boiled or fried. Some lay two poached side by side, down on Jollity Farm. Ringing, the parson's work is done. While the folks are singing, he's making two into one. All the bonny lads who clean the sheds, they wag their heads, the cheering spreads. Welcome to the newlyweds down on Jollity Farm.
Randolph Sutton there in 1929 singing a Leslie Cerrone number, Jollity Farm. You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. At the very dawn of disc recording in the early 1900s, Fred Gaisberg had set up his recording room in the basement of an old hotel in Maiden Lane, London, and was making records of any artists from the music halls and theatres he could get an introduction to. Some had voices that recorded well, others didn't. So Fred and his brother Will drew on lesser-known performers for much of their recorded repertoire. Here's an excerpt from Fred Gaisberg's biography describing one such regular recording artist. Our diaphragm was not very sensitive, and we still required robust, even voices to make good records. Fat, jolly Bert Shepherd, with his powerful tenor voice and clear diction, gave us our most successful results. The spontaneous and boisterous laugh he could conjure up was most infectious and was heard by thousands through his records. Bert Shepherd's Whistling Coon and The Laughing Song were world famous. I brought these songs over from America, from George W. Johnson, the tragic Negro who was hanged for throwing his wife out of a window when in a drunken frenzy. Here is Bert Shepherd singing George Johnson's Laughing Song, as recorded by Fred Gaisberg's brother Will in May of 1903.
As I was coming round the corner, I heard somebody say, here comes a dandy donkey, oh, here he comes this way. His face I'm like a snowplow, his mouth I'm like a trap, and when he starts a laughing, you see a fearful gap. On the corner and whistles to the breeze. He looks into a window and this is what he sees. A very close communion of mustache and curl. The other fella's kissing the other fella's girl. He'll be the king of laughter in the sweet by and by. And when I heard him say it, I laughed until I cried.
Was Bert Shepherd having a good cough after singing The Laughing Song, written by Sam DeVere and made famous by George Johnson. If you think it sounded familiar, The tune and some of the words were used 20 years later by Charles Penrose in his recording of The Laughing Policeman. It sometimes comes as quite a surprise to find that an apparently original song has its beginning much further back in history. An example I would like to play, but can't because I haven't been able to find a recording of it, is a 1906 song called The Other One from The Dairymaids by Paul A. Rubens. It's sung by a couple whose differing memories of events during their courting days lead to embarrassing revelations. Almost exactly the same theme is found in I Remember It Well, sung in the film Gigi by Maurice Chevalier 50 years later. Yet another example of an earlier unknown version is provided by Spike Jones and his City Slickers. Spike Jones was an American drummer who specialised in novelty effects. He and a band called the City Slickers proceeded to torture dozens of well-known songs into excruciating parodies, with Spike Jones providing the punctuation in the form of cleverly timed percussion and sound effects. Because of their records, they were well-known in this country too. But what was less well-known was the fact that Britain had produced its own version of that sort of comedy nearly 15 years earlier. Under the title of Crazy Overtures, the orchestral conductor Charles Prentice had encouraged his orchestra of novelty apprentices to let rip with bizarre parodies of well-known classical pieces. Our last record for today is one of those crazy overtures, recorded in January of 1934. So this is Adrian Tuddenham, looking forward to having your company next week to listen to some more discoveries from Life Before Vinyl, and leaving you with Charles Prentice conducting a version of Poet and Peasant Overture as you have never heard it before.
Me to write poems with that unearthly noise going on.
Well, how are we to know you were a poet?
Well, well, go away, or I'll set my hounds loose.
Come on, lads. Take no notice of him. Poet? Never heard of him.
Where shall we start from, Sam?
Here, and run as fast as you can. In the name of Old Moore, what is this all about?
Listen, and I will tell you. I am a poet.
And I am a peasant. We cannot agree, for that you can see.
We are the duck.
And I am the cow. And we are the blood.
Thank you.
a poet.
Call yourself a peasant.